reading from the Gospel according to Luke. The apostles said to the Lord, "Increase our faith." The Lord replied, "If you had faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say this to the mulberry tree, 'Be uprooted and planted in the sea,' and it would obey you. Who among you say to your servant who has come in from plowing or tending sheep in the field, 'Come here at once and take your place at the table'? Would you not rather say to him, 'Prepare supper for me, put on your apron, and serve me while I eat and drink. Later you may eat and drink.' Do you thank the servant for doing what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that you were ordered to do, say, 'We are worthless servants. We have done only what we ought to have done.'" The word of the Lord.
Today's Hebrew scripture readings give us a familiar arc. It begins in Habakkuk with an observation of the evils of the world: violence, wrongdoing, trouble, destruction, strife, perverted justice. Habakkuk's reality sounds pretty darn familiar. The prophet rails against God for doing nothing. "How long will I cry to you for justice?" And this also sounds familiar. And if you've never railed against God, I highly recommend it. It's cathartic, and God can handle it. And then God reminds Habakkuk that God has ways and means that the prophet and we cannot imagine. Have patience. Have faith. These ideas are reinforced in the psalm. Be patient. Trust God. Be still. Be joyful. Put away jealousy, anger, and resentment. Put away anger and resentment. Other than the fact that these things make us pretty unpleasant company, why does God urge us to put these things away? I would suggest that giving these things a place in our hearts allows them to dictate our behavior. Giving anger and resentment a place in our hearts gives them a place in our homes. A friend of mine recently experienced an incident at work that left him frustrated and angry. As he got out of his car in the driveway, he slammed the door shut. While he was putting away supplies in the laundry room, he banged and slammed his way about the room. As he was about to walk through the door into the den, he stopped, realizing he was about to bring that anger and resentment into the heart of his home. He recognized that his family did not deserve what he was carrying into their home, so he went back outside, sat on the front step, and made a plan. He made a plan about who to talk to, when he was going to do it, and how he was going to address his anger in a healthy way. He did this so he could set aside his anger before he entered his house. He wanted to set aside his anger to maintain the sanctity of his home. Violence, trouble, destruction, strife. These are things we see all around us. Sometimes it seeps into our homes. Sometimes it comes crashing in. Sometimes we carry it in ourselves. So back to the ark. As often happens, Jesus' teachings disrupt the order of the day. Size doesn't matter. It's not the quantity of your faith that matters. It's just that you have it. Jesus also encourages us to work while we're waiting. Just as the psalmist and the prophet recognize that we can have joy in the midst of our lament and our railing and our anger at God, Jesus seems to recognize that our patience will be fortified if we have something to do. So we plow, we tend sheep, we cook and we serve and we clean up. And we do it not for thanks or reward, but out of the love and gratitude we have because we are in relationship with God. Now, I told you all of that to tell you this. October is, among other things, Domestic Violence Awareness Month. God desires something different for our hearts and our homes than violence and strife and contention. God desires hearts and homes that are respectful, uplifting, and loving, full of grace, gratitude, and the Spirit. And whether we believe that domestic violence touches our lives or not, we are called by our baptismal covenant to respect the dignity of every human being. And there is no respect or dignity in domestic violence. So, what can we do? We can pray. If nothing else, we can pray for those being abused, for the abusers, for those who work to reconstruct the lives of those affected by domestic violence. We can educate ourselves on the statistics, and they are heartbreaking, and I'm not going to share them here because they're heartbreaking, on the types of abuse that exist, on the cycle of violence, on how to respond when someone tells us they are in an abusive relationship, on the resources and available for individuals and families affected by domestic violence, both abused and abuser, on how to be present. We can learn to say, there is help, there is hope, to anyone whose lives are touched by this. We can model reaching out in love and concern to others, to our families, friends, neighbors, coworkers, anyone, everyone, so that maybe those mustard seeds of faith and love and respect and hope can be carried into every heart and every home. And we won't need to have Domestic Violence Awareness Month anymore.